a lot of people in New York waking up happy that they have a basketball championship.
And there are a lot of people who ain't so happy.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? It is your favorite podcast duo of all time. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And Court.
And Court.
Is in session.
In session. Jordan.
Woo! We got a lot to bring to court today.
Hooray! Oh. Listen, we ain't got no lunch breaks, no snack breaks, no nothing in court today, because...
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Woo!
You know, what? You know, there was a point, right? Because we all talked about it, where, you know, halfway through the season, I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait for the season to be over.
Now
and last night, I was like, oh my God, I don't want this series to be over. What exactly. A great freaking series.
What a great way to end a great year of basketball, high level. You know, when we talked about who we wanted to be in the finals, and I said I wanted a Breanna Stewart, Nafisa Collier to just be battling it out. I feel we got that, and we just got, everyone was able to see Fee and what she can do at the highest level. And New York scrapped together a win and their first WNBA championship in overtime, 67-62. It wasn't pretty. It was low scoring.
Girl.
But they got it. Their first championship in franchise history. Wow. Ooh. I think I love the part that history was going to be made either way for whoever won.
Yes.
The Lynx would have gotten five. No other franchise has five WNBA championships, but the Lynx, but the Liberty getting their first, and the city and that crowd. Oh, it was unreal.
Yeah.
I was standing fourth quarter.
I went back and forth, right? Even before last night, I went back and forth on who I wanted to win, right? The finals. Because I ain't got a dog in the fight. But the selfish person in me was like, I do not want Minnesota to be the only team with five championships.
I knew it.
Don't want Minnesota to win. But the other part is, listen, I love Spoonie. I love her. Mm-hmm. I love Sue. I love VJ. I love Crystal. Like, we had battles. But I've never wanted New York to win a thing. So I did not want New York to win either. So then I was like, listen, somebody got to win. So I kind of was like not mad when New York won, because I just did not want Minnesota to get five. But I do want to say this before we get into it. You know, when I looked at both teams, both rosters, I got to Minnesota and I said this. Because someone else said this to me. They said, I had no idea Nafisa Collier was like a baller like this.
Wow.
Like, I knew Fee was good. She was just on a completely different level this year. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that team, this was really the first year people were talking about Nafisa Collier, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as a real, like, the girl can go. But when you look at that team, Jordan, they don't really have, like superstars.
Uh-uh.
Right? And that was the part for me, I was like, I wouldn't be mad if Minnesota won based off of, you know, their roster and people not, if you're not talking to your diehard women's basketball fan, they probably couldn't name three players on Minnesota.
I know. It was a little bit of the underdog. Yeah,
it was. It really was. That was the part of me, though, where I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if Minnesota won. But shout out. excuse me, shout out to the Liberty. Congratulations. Ooh, it hurts me to say that, but congratulations.
on I love your
first championship.
I love that you are on both sides of that, in the sense that Liberty fans probably don't love you because you...
I know, they don't.
Those finals that they came up short were on the hands of Cheryl Swoops. And then on the other hand, you still want to keep that lore by not having the Lynx get to five. So I understand it. I understand the predicament.
The struggle's real, Jordan.
The struggle is real, but... Speaking of the struggle, I was on the struggle bus, just stressed out of my mind to know it was the same thing every game, just stress in the final 5 minutes of the game, not knowing which way it was going to go. So we're going to talk about the game as a whole, but let's just go straight to the ending, because that is where the heart was pumping. So Breanna Stewart is fouled by Alanna Smith with 5 seconds left. The Liberty are down two. This is an alleged foul. The Lynx challenged. They had a timeout left, so they challenged it. The ref still said and came back and said that there was contact there. Stewart made both free throws, but remember, she missed two free throws 30 seconds earlier that could have tied the game. So technically at this point, they would be up by two if she made these free throws. So I was like, oh God, here we go again. Stewie, you missed both of them. You missed both of them. Woo! But she came back.
Girl, she made... I was like, no, she didn't.
Oh, woo! I was okay. I was stressing. So then Kayla McBride, she got a great look at a three at the other end because Stewie made those free throws. So now we're tied. That three could have won the game. Top of the key. JJ was a little late on the closeout, but McBuckets, it goes in and out, and the game went into overtime. Minnesota didn't score in OT until Kayla McBride hit some free throws with about 2 minutes remaining, but they missed all six of their field goal attempts. Breanna Stewart would go to the line again with 10 seconds left in overtime, and she hit those free throws to give it a 5-point lead. Whew. That was a lot. It was a lot. What was going through your mind as you were watching those final seconds play out?
Well, I'm going to rewind before those final seconds, because the two free throws you mentioned that Stewie missed.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there. I was like, she really just missed those two free throws. Can you talk about nerves? But to be able to come back, right? You come back, you got to put that out your mind. You come back and you knock them down. Here's my thing. And I know we're going to talk about this forever, as we should, because it was an incredible series.
Yes.
Jordan, the game shouldn't have ever gone to overtime.
I know.
It's just my opinion. Because Stewie, she traveled.
She did travel.
She traveled.
When she caught it from the inbound pass, she shuffled her feet. I was
screaming. Girl, she did the New York shuffle. I don't know if that dance exists, but she did the New York shuffle. And I'm like, I love Stewie. Love her, love her, love her. I love this series. I love all of it. So it's not me like going in on Stewie, but like, how do you miss that? And it was, Jordan, but it wasn't like a little shuffle where it was like, I can see how they miss that. Like she ran without dribbling. Now, does that change the outcome of the game? Probably.
I don't know. And then you're going into that. That's one call that you might be frustrated about. And then you go into the famous foul call of Alanna Smith on Breanna Stewart. And
yes,
I watched that replay I always say it is so hard to be a referee and you're seeing it at the million miles per hour. Like everything's going fast and you have to be able to make that call. I get that. But when the Lynx challenged it, to me, it just wasn't enough contact personally that I would have called that foul. And I think that's what I get so frustrated with. In the sense of, you know, this being such a great series. And even when it was the final minutes, I'm like, oh, no, I want a team to go on a run so that there can be a clear winner, like because you played better. But now when we get down to the nitty gritty and the final seconds, there's so much error that could go on. You know, someone dribbles off your foot. Someone steps out of bounds. Was your foot on the line? Was it a two or a three? Was it a foul? Like all of those things can come into play. And Minnesota was making a run at the end of that game and Fee was on a whole nother level. They couldn't stop her. So I was like, keep that going. So it's not neck and neck, but I didn't get my wish.
I said that Bridget Carlton was going to hit a three to send it to double overtime. And that shot she took.
Great look.
Man, it was. Here's the thing.
Great look.
This series to me was too good of a series for it to end like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, and I know everybody was on Twitter. Like what? Everybody that's probably never watched a game until last night had so much to say.
Had something to say. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was gut wrenching to, ooh.
And the note about Minnesota not scoring in overtime, I think they were deflated. Like, I think everything was just kind of taken out of them. When you, like you said, Cheryl, we are not even supposed to be in overtime right now. So now I have to play in overtime and try to fight to win again. Like, it feels like we already won. So it just, their whole body language wasn't the same of we are fighting for, you know, a chance to win. I think Fee also had 5 fouls going into overtime. So she was playing a little cautious as well. So I think that was.
Ended up fouling out.
Yeah, still ended up fouling out in the final seconds, but they were deflated. And I will say, as we're talking about this and the controversy surrounding it, Cheryl Reeve, after the game in her press conference, had a lot of colorful language to say about the referees, about the series as a whole. She had a lot to say about that. And I think, you know, she has been in these situations so many times. She has been to 7 finals. She's won 4 of them. I think she was frustrated. Your team just lost. Like, of course, there's going to be some frustrations there. But it's unfortunate, again, that it had to come down to that, or that's the talking point that we're leaving with. Yeah.
Yeah. Without even getting into everything Cheryl said, I mean, you can go back and listen to it. Can I tell you my favorite line of hers, though, in that press conference?
Sure. There was a lot of good ones. What was yours?
My favorite. And she said it so, like, smooth, where it was, what? I mean, it took them 28 years to get their first.
We were going for our fifth.
I was like, oh.
Oh, she was not happy.
Girl, she just let it all out. She let it all out.
I was not happy.
Oh, wow. I want to hear yours.
My favorite line was, again, just the smoothness, the dryness of
so dry.
Whew. But my favorite line was, being a referee isn't that hard. It's not that hard. It's not a hard job. I was like, golly.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't want to be a ref.
You know what? I wouldn't want to be a ref because the next day you got people like me and you talking about the refs. I'm like, I don't want to be a ref. No.
No.
But ooh, it was
Cheryl.
Yeah, it was really, really dry. I want to say this, and I'm done with it. You know what I hate though is instead of people last night and this morning waking up celebrating the Liberty, talking about how great they were, and everybody is talking about Minnesota got cheated.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
And that doesn't feel as fun.
And it's unfortunate for all the players, you know, not just the Liberty, because you know Minnesota is feeling some type of way, as they should. But also for the Liberty, they should be celebrating in this moment, right? So, yeah. Anyway, Cheryl.
Absolutely.
She didn't have to say that.
You don't have to do all that, Coach Reeve. But I think that's a perfect transition into what we can talk about now, because I think that was the hot point of the game. But bottom line is the Liberty won like they did, because I think the Lynx had plenty of opportunities for it to not be that close. Like, I know that it's a frustration with that foul call, but there was missed layups, some missed shots, some
dry spells
where the Lynx were just at the beginning of the game. The Liberty started horrible. I think they would also agree with that statement. I tweeted, maybe if we unplug them and plug them back in, like, that's what they need. They just needed a restart button.
Yeah, it was not
It was not a great start. And the Lynx could have went out, you know, on a 20-point lead during that time. But they also had their struggles. And New York's defense wasn't so terrible at those beginning times. But the struggle of the shooting between the two superstars of New York, the end of the game, they combined, Sabrina and Stewie combined for 5 for 34.
Oh, yeah. If you're Minnesota, you got to find a way to win that game.
Oh,
who would have ever thought Stewie being 4 for 15 and Sabrina being 1 for 19 would win them a championship?
If you would have told me that, Cheryl, last week, I would have said, oh, no way. No way would that happen. But they found a way. And one player that we have to shout out, making the most of her opportunity, Nyara Sabali, came in there, which I will say has been playing well all playoffs long and all finals long, coming in and just like, what do you need? What do you need me to do? I am cutting. I am screening. I'm getting loose balls.
I am defending.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. She played both ends of the floor. Like, I know we'll get into the MVP, but there last night, if it was off of one game.
I know. She would have got it.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, 13 points off the bench, and it was, I think, in like 11 minutes. She had like, you know, 8 points in 6 minutes or something like that. Like, just the efficiency, especially when a team is so struggling to be efficient, for someone to come in and say, okay, I've been watching on the bench. I know what spots are open. And she just completely capitalized on that. Yeah. And it was so amazing to see. It was the effort that you can never teach. So that was great. And Kayla Thornton also came in, played some great defense on Fee. I saw that Sandy Brondello.
Kayla was physical.
She was physical. And that is the scouter report. I think that's the scouter report on Fee. You got to be physical on her. She doesn't really love that. Sandy Brondello wasn't going to Courtney Vandersloot. She was going big. She realized finally that they are bigger than the Lynx.
It was a great move.
It was a great move.
Bibich
had 13 points. She was also doing well exploiting that matchup with Courtney Williams. She definitely won that matchup last night. But any other thoughts on what the Liberty did well to win that game?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's probably not even the actual play, but more so Listen, as a player, and right now I'm talking about Stewie and Sabrina, the mm-hmm. fact that they shot the ball horrible, but they still found a way to stay engaged, right? To stay mm-hmm. in the game, to stay in the moment. And even though they didn't shoot the ball well, like that 1-3 that Sabrina did hit was a big three. Right. Huge. For Stewie to miss those two free throws and then come back, knock down to like just the mental standpoint, the mental aspect of how they were able to stay engaged, given the type of shooting performance they were having, like I thought was huge. And for me, the way the game started was how New York did Minnesota the first two games at home, right? They got out to an early lead and Minnesota came back. And last night, there was a point where I was like, okay, Minnesota, like this is how you got to start on the road. And mm-hmm. they just couldn't hang on to it.
Yeah, they couldn't. And to your point too, Sabrina, she had a lot of assists. She was trying to just stay involved on the offense, like you said, if she wasn't shooting. So she was making some nice passes. And then I think Stewie on defense getting some emphatic blocks, just trying to show that, like, I am here, even though I'm not scoring, I'm still very much a part of this. So, yeah, they definitely stayed engaged and they got it to dinner. Arike Agumbawale, she tweeted after the game. She said, Sabrina and Stewie, y'all need to treat the rest of your team to the biggest steak dinner.
The ever biggest. Wherever they want to go. They got the bag. Stewie and Sab got the bag.
Yeah. And that needs to be a big, big thank you. Let's talk about JJ. Because I want to say that I think I've been hard on Jonquel Jones. I just want her to be so great. And I know that she could be so, so great. Mm-hmm. But throughout it all, throughout this series, and she winning finals MVP is because she was consistent. She was. I know that we were like, you could have 40.
I know. She was
consistent with getting about 18 points per game throughout these finals and shooting at high percentages as well. In this last, in the finals, in game five, she had 17 points, 10 points in that first half. A lot of those and ones started to fall. She started getting inside the paint, which was love to see. She had 6 rebounds too, 100% from the free throw line, 7 for 7. She was the only player coming into this game that has competed in a game five. And I think that experience showed, and she just wanted it so bad. She has come up short so many times of being in these finals. So I love that for her, that she got her first ring and she's the finals MVP.
Yeah. No, excuse me. You and I have sat here and had this conversation, right? Where I'm like, JJ, get your butt in the paint. Get off the three-point line. Here's my thing. Can she shoot threes? Yes. Consistently mm-hmm. making them? No. But it ain't even about that. It's about where she dominates. And her domination was in the paint in this series. But like you said, I too feel like I probably was being a little hard on her. But it came from just knowing how good she can be when she asserts herself and when she decides that she wants to dominate and she can do all those things. But you know what? What do we know? Because she was the finals MVP.
I know. Like,
congrats to JJ getting her first championship, finals MVP. Like, she held it down. She held it down the whole series.
She really did.
And Sunday's finale, they absolutely needed JJ to show up.
Yeah. I think I've been focusing on the extreme highs and the extreme lows of Breanna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu. And then JJ's just kind of been constant throughout that. And so, I mean, you saw her face when Kathy said her name, I don't think she was expecting it at all. Like, she
think anybody was expecting shocked. To hear JJ.
She was shocked. And, you know, when you think about her resume now, I kind of went back and I looked at it on Basketball Reference. She's won Most Improved Player. She's won Sixth Woman of the Year. Mm-hmm. She's won Regular Season MVP. She's won Commissioner's Cup MVP. And now Finals MVP. And I think that just shows
and a championship.
And a championship on top of that. And, you know, she's an all-star and all of those things. But that shows that she shows up for those big moments, for those big times. And that's so cool to add that to now her laundry list of almost winning every award. That's pretty great. I guess she got to get Depoy next season to really round it out. But it's really cool. Really, really cool to see for JJ.
Congrats, JJ.
Moving over to Minnesota. We've talked about Fee a little bit, but Nafisa Collier is so smooth, so just like fundamental, technical. It's just beautiful to watch when she gets a spin move, turn around off one foot, fading away over a 6'6" outstretched arm. And it's just the touch around the rim. She was all the way in her bag, and it was special. It was special.
Yeah, she, and we've talked about this all season. If Asia Wilson wouldn't have been Asia Wilson, Nafisa Collier would have been MVP. Mm-hmm. But to watch her perform this season, not just in the finals, like, you know how they call Tim Duncan, what, the big fundamental?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying Fee is like Tim Duncan, but her game, just fundamentally, she doesn't try to do too much. Like, she's not fancy with it. She's very fundamental. But it's so nice to watch. And you describe that little turnaround fadeaway off of 1 foot. You described it beautifully. And Fee is only going to continue to get better. Like, you know, this is the stuff that fuels you. It lights your fire. Like, no, we're coming back next year, bigger, better. And Jordan, I don't know about you. I don't know how many people were talking about Minnesota being in the finals this year. No. I don't know. Besides,
even when they went to the second seed, like, even then I was like,
they're not gonna make it to the finals.
I think we talked so much about the Liberty, and we talked about the Aces, and are the Aces coming back, like, about Connecticut and how they had a great start to the season. But post Olympic break, it has been all Minnesota straight path to this.
I'm telling you, I saw Cheryl Reeve back at the Women's Sports Hall of Fame this year. And she said to me, we were just talking about the team, and I was talking to her about Elisa Peely. And she said, Cheryl, I'm telling you, we have a chance to be a really good team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, coach, we'll see. Right?
Yeah.
And here they are in the finals, like a call away from being the champs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shout out to Coach Reeve. I know we talk about the players and the talent, rightfully so, but Cheryl Reeve is a basketball mind.
Absolutely.
Like, she knows how to get the best and the most out of her players. And I don't know. This series was so much fun to watch. And Minnesota, they got some really good pieces over there, adding Courtney Williams and Natisha Heidemann, I thought was big for them. They're only going to get better.
They're only going to get better. That's my thing. This is a completely new look team.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they were able to gel and get here in the first year all together, I hope that they stay together one more year because they have bought in and saw what they could do. But yeah, Coach Reeve pulling all these players from all over the league to make this team and be and complement each other so well in different areas was a marvel to see, because I think we weren't talking about it because we had never seen them play before. She has been seeing them play in practice. She's been seeing them gel together. But for us, we're like, how is this going to work? We don't know. And they showed us that it does work, but they all had to buy in, and Coach Reeve got the best out of them all at the same times in different areas of your career. If you're Kayla McBride, you're 10 years in and you have one of your best seasons ever. Like, that is a testament to the coaching staff and this team and gelling all together. So I know that this sucks right now, but I hope that they can be proud of the season that they had. And I know we're talking about Fee too. It sucks that both of those conversations, if Asia didn't have a great season, you'd be MVP. Right. If that ref didn't call that foul, you would be a WNBA champ. Like, that's a tough place to sit. So I would be terrified if I was anybody else in the league for next season for Nafisa Collier, because she's like, we don't got Olympics? I'm going all out. Like, I'm going all out on everybody for this whole season. She still finished with 22 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. And I want to say, too, how she was moving without the ball. Like, yes, we know what she can do with the ball, but she was cutting without the ball, getting herself open looks at the rim, getting layups. It was just a masterclass.
Yeah, Fee had that look of determination. Right. To your point, she wasn't just standing. She was moving all over the floor. Like, every time she touched the ball, she was attacking. And that wasn't necessarily attacking to score, but attacking to make something happen. And I enjoyed watching a lot of players play this season. But Nafisa Collier, like really caught my eye this season. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed watching her play. Hell of a talent.
Fee, you should be so proud of the season that you had, and one for the books. Like, we will remember this season always. Kayla McBride added 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Again, she had that great look that could have won the game. Courtney Williams was not in her bag in game 5, I will say. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, really struggled. They didn't let her get to her sweet spot as much, which New York finally realized that midi free throw line extended is the money
her
shot.
Spot. Yeah.
And her, so her they, spot. They were able to switch the big on her, I think. And that deterred her from trying to shoot from that spot. But a couple of good looks, they just went in and out, just weren't falling for her. New York is your WNBA champions, baby. Woo! Spike Lee was courtside in the fetal position. He was so stressed out. Seemed like the roof was going to explode off that place in Brooklyn. A lot of people in New York waking up happy that they have a basketball championship, their first one. But NBA, WNBA, they are happy. They're really happy.
And there are a lot of people who ain't so happy.
I know. I will say the real winner is investment in a team. And I think New York Liberty really showed that. And the owners being able to say, when we purchased this team, they had 2 wins, Cheryl. 2 wins all season in 2020. Two.
Ouch.
4 years later, you're winning your first championship. They really invested in this team. So that was the true winner.
I agree with that. Love that. It's over.
Ooh,
it's
now
over.
I'm sad. Like, we don't get that. I was planning my schedule around those finals games. I was like, I can't do anything all day. Like, I got to get my mind right.
Jordan. I have to say this because we were talking about it before we came on. Like, our producer James even said it. I don't remember the last time I got this excited over an NBA Finals.
Oh, no.
This is what you want. Like, I know the men, they're 7-game series. We're 5 games, but we're going to 7. Like, you want your finals to go 5 games. And every single game was close. Like, it could have been anybody's game. It was so exciting to watch. And again, I didn't have a dog in the fight, but I just love good basketball. Yeah. And that's exactly what the Lynx and the Liberty gave us in this series.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what those viewership numbers when they come out, because everybody was circling their calendar. Like you said, even if you didn't watch any of the other games, you saw them on SportsCenter. I think the coverage was great. And so you were like, okay, I want to be a part of it. I want to see what happens in game 5. Yeah. So can't wait to see those viewership numbers. But overall, great, great series. Perfect bow to put on this season. After the break, I'm going to bet on it in a new segment called What Are the Odds? Then after that, we're going to give out some flowers. This is What Are the Odds, sponsored by DraftKings, an official partner of the WNBA. The crown is yours. What's up, everybody? It's Jordan Robinson here, and I am going to give my What Are the Odds for Will the Liberty repeat as champions in 2025? Oh my gosh, we just experienced a gut-wrenching finals, but I'm going to say yes, and here's why. I don't think it's going to be the exact same team. I think they're going to go out in free agency and get some more pieces to complete the squad, even though they just won. Everyone else in the league is going to rebuild and make sure that they have the right pieces to beat the New York Liberty. Adding Leone Fibich last offseason is arguably what got them over the hump to win the championship this season. So they're going to go out and figure out what they are exactly missing and retool. But New York is a desired location. So free agents are going to want to flock there. The investment from the front office is there, and the city is really rallying behind this team. So it is a very desired location to go to in free agent. But also, this was the first ever New York Liberty Championship in franchise history. Once you get one, you get a little greedy and you want another one. And I think Stewie, Jonquel Jones, Sabrina Ionescu, they want another one, and they want it now. So as these players are in their prime, I think they come back in 2025. They already have the experience of winning one, and they get another one. I know that's a bold statement, but hey, that's why I'm here. I'm here to make some bold statement. This has been What Are the Odds, sponsored by DraftKings, an official partner of the WNBA. The crown is yours. Welcome back to Queens of the Court, and it's time to pass out a few bouquets. That means it's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. Cheryl, who would you like to give some flowers to?
Oh, man. Well, I was going to do the Liberty, but we talked a lot about them, and I think they should have felt some flowers in that, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
So I am actually going to give my flowers to someone who played in the W for I don't know how many years. Unless I missed it, I haven't seen an announcement that she retired. So that's why I played. But currently works for ESPN, Shanaya Gumake.
Yes.
On her multi-year contract extension with ESPN. Mm-hmm. And here is why I'm choosing to give my flowers to her. One, as a retired player who just takes so much pride in the league and the players and everything, what I love about Shanae is, like, she's earned every bit of this.
Absolutely. Right?
Playing, even while she was playing, was still working for ESPN. Like, my girl was hustling, was grinding, was just getting it in. And as a Black woman, I love to see it. I love to see her at the top of her game. I love to see the recognition. so deserving. Listen, mm-hmm. women have been doing this thing for a long time, and we are really, really good at what we do. And Shanae is a great example of what hard work looks like, and just knowing her stuff. Mm-hmm. And she just looks beautiful while she's doing it. So, Shanae, here's to you. Not that you need me to give you flowers, girl, because with that extension you got, you can go buy a whole nursery or whatever you want to do. But congratulations on your extension. We see you, sis. Keep doing what you're doing and keep inspiring.
I love that pick. My favorite part about that is she was on the desk for the WNBA finals. Then she had to fly to Stanford to get her Hall of Fame recognition for Stanford Hall of Fame. Then she flew back for game five. I know she was really pushing for game five because she did not want to miss the championship celebration. Yeah. But that's a great one. Shanae, congrats. Mm-hmm. So proud of you because you're so good at what you do. So you should get all of that, all the coins. We hinted at this a little bit earlier, but the current Liberty players have their flowers, but I want to just double down and give the flowers to the Liberty of the past and all of those players. You know, I tweeted this, that it wasn't just a championship for this season. It is for all of the players before who got so close or were a part of those really good teams that weren't able to get across the finish line. And people like Teaspoon, like Cappy, like Rebecca Lobo, like Tina Charles, Vicky Johnson, Kim Hampton, Crystal Robinson, Sue Wicks, and so many others in 28 years of their history. That is what that championship is for. So I hope they get a little piece, like in Mean Girls, you know, where she crushed her crown and was throwing it out in the crowd. Like, I hope they get a little piece of the trophy, a little piece of the net, because they were a part of this. And you know, JJ said she had a moment with Teaspoon after, you know, as they were celebrating, and Teaspoon said, thank you for getting this for New York. And JJ said, thank you for paving the way. Thank you for all the things that you did to make it so that we were able to be here. So I just want to give my flowers to all of those players because they were all a part of it.
That's really, really good. And, you know, and it was so nice to see all of the former players sitting courtside at the game. And for everybody. But for me, when I saw Spoon, like the emotion, I was like, she absolutely was in the moment. Right. Because of the history, her being there forever and not being able to win a championship. But then I also thought about just, you know, the stuff that's happened to her recently with the sky. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were so many different emotions she was feeling, but it was so nice to see them there and being celebrated. So great call. That's a good one.
Congratulations. Sue Wicks courtside.
Sue was giving it to him too.
Sue was in it. I was like, you want to check in, Sue?
Girl, she would have gone in too. She would have been like, Coach, put me in. Sandy, put me in.
That was fun. All right. Well, this has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Please continue to follow, rate, review the show. What a season it has been. I started this thread on Twitter of all the positive moments, all your favorite moments. So feel free to send some of your favorite moments throughout the season to our email at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
Wow. It's crazy. I can't believe that it's done, right?
I know. It doesn't feel like it. Ugh.
But you all know we do have another episode. We are going to be giving out our Queens of the Court Awards. And we mentioned this last week. If you have any thoughts, ideas, you can email them to queensofthecourt@odyssey.com. You can also send them to me and Jordan on social media. I'm at AirSoups22. She, Jordan, is at HeyJordanR. And also be on the lookout because we're going to post a link for all of the fans who want to submit what awards you think we should give out. And because we want you to be a part of it, because this isn't just about us. This is about all. all of us. So please send us your thoughts and ideas. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. I can't wait. Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by the fabulous James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese-Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Alex Ozzie and Lena Moss-Glazer.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Boom!